runs into her a few days later. And I wrote you a letter. I asked you to meet. She answered, "Don't read any letters."
Well, 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 well.
But you could take the letter and give it to somebody and let him know.
This was a calculated snub. So he has some wonderful friends in Westboro. I mean, there's no doubt about it. But this is a big place. I mean, relatively speaking, there's lots of people living. This is the 18th century, not the 17th century. There are people that he finds that are going over. To hear commissary Christ, a missionary from the Church of England. Putnam from Cullingham, December 25th. You know, look, they're celebrating Christmas. They should be out working, kind of thing. Or during the revivals of the 1740s, when you can get really what amounts to that any insane person in place is absolutely nothing is wrong right now, including the wife of Solomon Prentice in Grafton. He was an extraordinary individual, but not somebody that you would get on easily with. So I guess that authority is always a matter of continuous achievement rather than a given, and it waxes and wanes, and people have very long memories sometimes about slights, real and imagined. So maintaining that authority, and you have to give this man credit. You know, minister for 58 years. The church does not split during the Great Awakening. There's not a Baptist church in town. There's not a Church of England in town. There's no Quaker meeting in town. It is an extraordinary achievement in the 18th century because a good number of ministries saw their parishes split. That is, people hiding off and creating old light and new light churches. Baptists, Anabaptists, Presbyterians, all sorts of folks come in. Parkland, I think, had a significant achievement. He was able to hold it together in this very contentious 18th century. Yes, sir. I know that in the Revolutionary period, he does go, one of his sons or sons-in-law is up there as a minister, and he does go and visit the mosque, and he remembers, and he goes to see the mosque, and he remembers the 50 years the sorrow of that death and that problem. Because again, that diary entry is one of the longer ones when he describes or hears about his brother's death and that shipwreck. Yes, but no.
Is there any comment in his diary? You said he kept other people up. Were the people trying to resent him and to support this one church?
It depends where you go. In the aftermath of the Great Awakening in the 1740s, there are a number of these splits in churches, and a number of people not only split off as what they would regard as more pure congregational churches, but they go over to the Baptist camp. And once there as Baptists, they are then making the plea that they be exempt from taxation. And their critics say, well, you just became a Baptist for convenience. And I find that very hard to believe. anybody, but no, I mean, you just don't, religion, I know all sorts of people that go from Methodist to Presbyterian to Congos and so on today, but that's very, it's easy to do today, but not in the 18th century. So there is support of churches, but after Massachusetts Bay loses its charter in the 1680s and a new charter is granted in the early 1690s, that monopoly is, in effect, broken. You can trace from the 1690s is when the Anglican Church begins to grow in Massachusetts. The Puritans just did too much to dissenters to be allowed to continue. I mean, they hung some of them, they exiled others. They deserved what they got, and they got by virtue of the the new charter a degree, an enforced degree of toleration. That didn't mean that there was a separation of churches, as you point out. That's, that doesn't come into the 1830s.
You could become a Baptist, but you still had to pay the taxes.
Well, I see from my own town of Holden that in our records that you had to get an exemption certificate, as it were, and sometimes those were hard to come by. Particularly if you were saying that I'm a Baptist in the church three towns over. Well, is that really a good church membership? And so, depending on the local politics of it, it could be very difficult. So, the whole question of church and state is a very contested area right from the 1630s when the Puritans arrive in Massachusetts Bay, even before that when the Pilgrims arrive in Plymouth. And there's never a unity of religion in Massachusetts. I mean, that's why Roger Williams and Hutchinson, even one of the early presidents of Harvard College, who decides that he's a Baptist, and right in the middle of the establishment, and they have to sort of get him to hush up about it. Other, yes?
Absolutely.
I'm active in my local historical society, and God, I wish that Ebenezer Park had been lived in Holden. it's just such a magnificent diary. There is so much in it that almost for any taste and interest, there's something to be found in that diary. Just an extraordinary. It's tedious sometimes. When you do the linkage, it is just so give me an example of a linkage that you can do with this. You can do it only with a computer. My memory isn't good enough. But there was a young woman named Mercy Maynard, and she was in her early 30s and not married, and was pregnant. And Parkman goes to Mercy Maynard and says all the right things to Mercy pregnant. And then on the day he says, there's great joy at the Maynard house because another of the Maynard women has given birth to a child, and poor Mercy has given birth to a black child. And that's a really interesting one. And we don't know what happened to the black baby. The father is said to be Mr. Mason Essex. And then Mercy Maynard just drops out of the record. She doesn't make a confession. There's no record for marriage. It didn't happen. And then maybe 10 years later, there's just a one-line entry that a man has come up from the Lebanon parish down in Connecticut, and Parkman mentions that poor, she's still poor, and this is going to be a newspaper. And then another 5 years later, the same man comes back to the organization, and he mentions the poor person. And it's just such a tantalizing kind of a series of entries, because the tragedy of it, the ultimate fate of the baby, the slave, remain elusive, but you can link these things over. It's just such a fantastic document. And I encourage you, if you've never had a chance to read any of it, that I know that the Westboro Library will have lots of copies of Frank Millette's edition of the diary, and also the Westboro Historical Society's edition of parts of the diary, maybe in 1999. It is just so rich, and it is so very, very, very interesting. Do you have small websites?
This one only goes to 1730.
That's right. And that's, there's literally 60% of the diary remains in manuscript.
That's the great opportunity for somebody who wants to get it published. But it's tough. That edition there is his handwriting is easy. His work was long enough. Yeah. Better than mine, which is not saying much. That book is about 250 pages long, and what the Antiquarian Society did in its initial publication was put it in its proceedings. And then when they wanted to publish it as a book, they put four pages of the proceedings on each page of that book, which makes it really not very attractive to read, small print and so on. So you take those 250 pages, multiply them by four, the Antiquarian Society has published thousands of pages in Ireland so far, which means by my rough, very rough calculation, that if you published it in the proceedings of the Antiquarian Society, it would be another 1,250 pages to publish. Okay, Natalicia. What Parkman does on his birthday is he sets aside time to reflect on his life. Basically, he's trying to get quiet time for reflection on his birth, on his life, and so on. So in that, you'll see that Ouellette has gathered those together as part of his diary. It's very interesting sometimes. Parkman is not a reflective, a self-reflective individual. You don't learn much about what he's thinking. I mean, when he writes about Thomas Paine's Common Sense, bold strokes, that's an unusually large comment on his reading. So he doesn't talk about it, but in some of those birthday reflections he talks, and then, and I think I've talked about this in a book about the Girl's Historical Society, if you go back to the unpublished year of, I think it's 1736, when Molly Parkman died, then you get a really raw emotion. Then you get a man who's truly religious. No. He's referring to Lydia Champney, who's Molly Champney Parkman's spinster sister. And Lydia serves one of those great functions in the Parkman household. Well, first of all, they named one of their children after her. She, as an unmarried woman, basically has few places to go. There's not a lot of options for an unmarried woman. And so, on a variety of points, Lydia Champney shows up at the Parkman household before her sister Molly dies, during the period of Parkman's bereavement, and then in later years. She shows up when she's needed. She shows up when some of the daughters are getting married. There's one of these wonderful entries in Parkman's diary, but it was 1737 to 1736, where Lydia comes up to him basically and says, "You ought to take off your black." What she's saying to him is, you've mourned enough. And all Parkman can do is turn away the emotions that can flow to Parkman. Very, very powerful. Very powerful. But no, there's not. The nearest you can get, but there's a list, I think it's in 1727, when he talks about God's benignity. And he talks about how he was restrained from fornication with Molly before they were married. And he really genuinely loved his wife. There's no doubt about that. And so he felt that kind of, he's grateful to God that he was restrained in not becoming sexually involved with him. I'm sorry? Well, you know, it's interesting. I mean, he's married with, within a year and a half, which is not all that uncommon. I mean, after all, he's not... when she dies, usually what will happen on the Sunday after the death of the minister's wife is that some of his colleagues are going to come in and preach for her. Nobody shows up. Nobody's able to show up. It doesn't mean they disrespect him. Circumstances mean that he has to get up in the pulpit and preach his two sermons that day. It is amazing what that does to his life. He's because if you go back into what the Puritans believe, you can regard, you know, I don't know when Puritan stops in England, but Puritans believe that you should marry someone you could love, that your first love should always be on that which was eternal and immortal, that is God, not on something that is temporal, fragile. That if you love the temporal, or if you love your wife, your daughter, your son, your mother, whoever, too much, that is a sign of disrespect for God. You want to love her in moderation, I guess would be the word. So when Parkland asks the Spirit not to show his emotion, he's asking what I'm sure other Puritans, close Puritans, just did. There are some wonderfully interesting affairs that go on in taking place in Westboro, but these usually come to light after, of course, the woman's in person. But there are some juicy things that go on. But I wouldn't mean the diary, because you have to unpack the diary. Society, as much as I love the place, is
changing it that way. But when I first encountered the Antiquarian Society in the late 60s and early 70s, we could describe its mission as 99.44% to save the record of the past for the future. You know, unfortunately, we are never in the future. We're always sort of behind that curve. And so, they've never welcomed just a casual reader. They will not welcome students unless they do a term paper. What you have to do in order to get into the Antiquarian Society, to do other than genealogical work, and even if you do genealogical work, they'll want to make sure that you've done your homework elsewhere so that they can make adjustments to the user. And I accept that they do. I have no problems with it. Well, the problems perhaps for yourself. What you have to do is go and demonstrate that you have a mature, lasting, committed kind of interest in the sources, and that you've done your homework elsewhere. But in addition, the Antiquarian Society is that we do have the only way to talk to the society. That said, it's much easier to go to Holy Cross and use Microsoft as a partner dialect that's in the Holy Cross. Courtesy of you, actually, because you got it there because of a national Sundays between 1740 and 1782, and while he did repeat sermons on occasion, much to his own stress and embarrassment, you hear these records of 14,000 sermons surviving in some of the school classes. So I say, thank God all of this survived because it's 15 sermons in particular. Yes, at Holy Cross we've got the commonplace book, which is Mass Historical, the other years of diary, but a few years of diary in Mass Historical. I don't know if we have, so I think it's the diary and the commonplace book, but I think also it's worth money, which is what it is. But one of the things that all of you have to do if you have any abiding interest in Parkland is to convince the American Antiquarian Society that it should be the agent to publish the entire diary. And that runs into all sorts of questions.
letter of proposition, you know, if they want to publish another book, you know, physical pages of the book. If you do it online someplace, you do it on CD-ROM, you know, what is the technology? I think there's enough interest, potential interest out there that they should do that. Jones, comma, John, and so page 23, you're actually looking at four pages of 23 in this minuscule time. So it is indexed by name. For me, one of the great questions of indexing is, do you make that index by subject? For example, he has no books. Bold. Our interest is not merely genealogical in terms of names. It's a lot of interest that we have. And so the question of indexing by subject is a really, really good indexing by name. Yeah, and one of the things that's so frustrating about what Shakes the Man is that he comments so infrequently on what he means. Rarely the comment. There's some very interesting commentaries that he has when his daughters pick up Richardson's novels, and he's very conflicted about whether his daughter should be novels. So he does have some very interesting comments, both on some of the novels, but also on the whole question of whether a decent world should be fiction. He finally comes around and one of the most desperate pieces of diary and saying, well, since I can't afford to send her to boarding school, maybe this is the way she'll get kind of used to work. She'll get some sense of really the taste, something like this. But there's a lot of reading and indeed in the years of the revolution, that's what's so interesting is that he's so uninvolved in the revolutionary literature. Yes, he does read yes, in the Vermont Constitution is drafted, he does read that. We know he's reading a lot of newspapers, but we don't necessarily know which ones or what he's reading in those newspapers. But most of what he does read is in fact but then, every once in a while, there'll be a law book, there'll be an architectural handbook that shows up, there'll be a book on husbandry that shows up. Whether it be a book on medicine, his tastes are far ranging, and not as compared in any way to say Adam, but his tastes are interesting. But reading encyclopedias and the whole notion of sitting down with A and then going on to B.
Partly thought that was also
recurrent
to the times that you read by accident, like hotel and community, or with
loans,
or
past. Well, his reading is so interesting because, yes, he's buying books. But a lot of what he reads is loaned or traded, simply because he doesn't have a big budget for books. And so he does borrow books. So there's a man from Adams who is out bugging the heck out of him about trading books. This guy is a bibliophile or bibliomaniac of some kind. And this man, I think it's Hannah Adams, his daughter, is the first woman to be so the reading is not, it is to some extent by chance, but also to find secrets that people have and exchanging books as well.
What happens
when you find a book? Well, He does leave in his will certain volumes to his sons. In that sense, he becomes his first. And there's no, unlike, there are some estate inventories for ministers where the inventory papers are missing. You can go back, I mean, and I've done a little bit of work, discrete items, which is one point or another, passed through their hands. Whether he actually read them, and if he read them, how he reacted to them is another matter. But almanacs and magazines from England and newspapers and broadsides and printed diaries and the whole red graphic of stuff that comes out of them. He's not in a position to work in to be a benefactor. He was a benefactor in small ways of giving things to people. I mean, a young man who leads him after a year of service, given the template, he thinks he's going to be pushing on and it will help. But he's not in a position to be a benefactor. Not in the way that, say, Samuel will hold him or even make a benefactor.
Just as an aside, I believe next year the building will be outlining the details of the burden. So we see this from George Hartman, the Harvard
Medical School. Now, this is the great
grandson.
I think Francis Hartman, the historian, is the grandson. Is that right?
George
Hartman had a limited money, and it was a student. And
next thing you know, George Hartman is at Harvard. And he was found with pieces.
Things haven't changed much, have they?
In the basement of Harvard University. And that's going to make it so
good. Not too many murders in the 18th century, I guess we could be thankful of. Although it is, if you look at sort of criminal history, the 18th century is seen by a minor figure of a cousin. You do get some sense of the range of what was going on. And, of course, public execution. So there's going to be a movie. I don't think we're going to get the movie about Edmund McCarthy first. It's one thing to have, I'm sure many of you have seen midwives about significantly if we do. So thank you all for turning out, and thank you for your very interesting questions.
Thank you.
But you know, I think he's great because he wasn't that guy.
I make that case because in a way people think that the history has to be done by the great actors.
But he's given us so much that we never know.
I mean, my bias is entirely for this.
And the fact that he survived that long marriage with those divisions and that he managed to stay afloat and not get pitched out.
Yeah. But, you know, the other part of it is that the sheer length of the diary allows one to begin tracing things to an extent that you can. So that, this literally does go from his ordination and marriage as this 21-year-old down to the point where he's recording the birth and even meeting some of his great-grandchildren. Now, when you say for those days, the key is if you lived at the age of 20, you had a baby. It was going to be infancy, childhood diseases that would get you. So if a person in the 8th, 17th grade, she said, at least in New England, can live at the age of 20, life expectancy is not as long as ours, but certainly very substantial. On the other hand, if you were down in Virginia, or Maryland, I was thinking that as I was driving in, and I was very conscious of the fact that I was driving, and I was going to make it from Holton to Westboro in about 20 minutes, and I was sort of conscious of the sense of high tech and all this, and then when Martin, late December of 1760, learns about the death of King George II back in October.
Well, that hit my head. That you sent, things were happening here. And you said, he went over as a minister. And, months later, comes back from France, all the strength.
Well, also, it's so very interesting that news travels by
movement.
And frequently you'll hear people like Parkman writing in a diary or a letter. I learned that, but I'm waiting for it to be confirmed. And the way it would be confirmed is when the newspaper finally caught up with it. in a way, it's sort of like what you hear on the television about whatever, and then the next day you read about it in the paper.
I took it. it's so refreshing.
And that's the other side of it. I don't know.
I sure will.